Ladies and gentlemen, this is Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in. We got a good show going for you today. I got a special guest, so stay tuned, and we will be right back with some more cowbell. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Sketchbook Audio. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch, and I have a very special guest with me today. He is basically a Jedi, but he won't admit it. So let me introduce my friend, Anthony LaFada. Anthony, say hello. Yeah, hello.
How's it going?
Mr. LaFada is an artist of sorts, and I certainly appreciate his work. So that's why I'm bringing him on the show today. Art is, it covers everything. It's a broad stroke term. It's drawing, it's photography, it's music and film, it's painting, it's clay sculpting, it's making beads, whatever you can be crafty and creative with, that is art. So that's why I have Mr. LaFada on the show, because I wanted to get his opinion and discuss film, actually. And then he could tell you a little bit about himself. And we will get into some hot topics for today, including The Mandalorian, spoiler-free, HBO and it putting its movies, or I'm sorry, WB and putting its movies onto HBO Max, how we feel about that, and then The Batman. I'm excited for it. I don't know about you. Are you excited?
Yes. Yes. Long, long overdue due to the pandemic, but unfortunately, we're going to have to wait a little longer to see the whole thing.
Right. So we're going to talk about that because I'm stoked for it. And I'm really curious about what's going on in the trailer. I know there's already been plenty of talk about it. So I'm not going to delve too much into it. I want to hit the key points on that because it's going to be a great movie, I think. And at first I was skeptical, but now I have become a true believer. So we'll talk about that in a bit. And then last but not least, the Batman cars. This is typically a podcast about cars and the design of automobiles. And being an automotive designer, I have a few things to say about the design of the new Batmobile. We'll save that for later, but I don't know, Anthony, do you like it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Well, we can agree and disagree about that later, but let's start out with HBO and Warner Brothers and what the heck is going on with the pandemic. Movies not going to theaters. Wonder Woman all of a sudden going to come to streaming and theaters at the same time on Christmas. That's a great Christmas present, I'm not going to lie. But and then there's a slew of other movies. Some of us haven't even seen or heard anything about up until HBO said, hey, we're releasing these movies. So let's talk about those. First one, let's just start off with Wonder Woman. I'm pretty geeked about it. The first one was good. So
I think Wonder Woman was just like one of those casualties of 2020, though, you know,
like Wonder Woman's films in general, or 84?
Yeah, we're looking at, you know, WB weighing their options, saying what do we do at this point? And ultimately, they said we're going to release it on HBO Max, and we're going to release it in theaters to anybody that wants to go see it in the theater. Me personally, I would love to see it in theaters, but given the whole situation of what's going on,
pandemic,
I'm gonna watch it here at home. And it's already been 6 months since the movie's supposed to be released. It was supposed to release in July.
Yep.
And I mean, the same thing goes for Black Widow. Black Widow should have been released.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I forgot about that. Where there's so many movies that we were just going to not even get to cover because, you know, either it.
Well, I'm only mentioning like the big ones because Marvel is a movie giant at this point.
Right.
But I think the pandemic has been a good thing for movies ultimately because
interesting.
A lot of people have expressed superhero fatigue.
Sure.
So with an entire year almost of no superhero movies, we're feeling refreshed. We're all anticipating Wonder Woman. And a lot of people are, you know, saying good things about it, even though it hasn't actually been released yet. So
right.
I'm looking forward to it. I want to see it. I kind of know what already happens just because I'm one of those people who like to dig, but
yes, Mr. Lafata is a digger when it comes to facts. I actually took I swore an oath not to watch trailers anymore. So with this that we're about to talk about with it, with HBO and WB, they haven't shown any trailers for anything with the exception of Wonder Woman. You know, we don't even have a trailer yet for Legendary Pictures is Godzilla versus King Kong, but that's been announced to come out on straight to streaming. Yeah, so you know, there's no trailers for any of these. I haven't seen a trailer for Godzilla. There was like a little bit of a leak because they showed it in Brazil, I think.
Yeah, I don't even think I saw a trailer.
Yeah, it's just like a quick glimpse of King Kong uppercutting Godzilla, and that is it. Mortal Kombat. Did you know there was a Mortal Kombat movie?
I saw a poster.
I saw a poster.
No, I saw a poster for King Kong. Oh. Or for Godzilla and King Kong. But Mortal Kombat, I did know that they're doing a movie.
You did?
Yeah.
How long?
It was only announced, I want to say maybe like 2 months ago.
There's the good point. Like, we didn't even know that this was happening.
Yeah, I knew they were rebooting it.
I mean, I'm happy that they are. I appreciated the one that was on Legacy, Mortal Kombat Legacy, but
on
it sort
YouTube?
Of yeah, the YouTube one.
Yeah.
Machinima.
Well, they also had the I don't know if you're referring to the animated.
There was an animated one.
Yeah, there was an animated one that WB Studios did.
Yeah.
Which came out.
Were you talking about the one from like a while ago?
No, that came out in like June. Yeah, it came out like June or
May. I need to watch that then.
It was all right.
Yeah.
It just felt too much like a DC animated movie, though. Oh. Like, the only difference is that there was, like, actual gore.
Okay.
Because it's a Mortal Kombat movie. But even still, it was like, it was all right. And then, I don't know if you saw the, I don't know if you saw the series on Netflix. It's called Greek Gods or something. And it follows one of Zeus's sons. It's not Perseus or it's what's his name? I forgot his name. But the animation is clearly WB Studios again.
Okay. Well, some of WB's animated movies are okay. Some of them are just cheesy, crappy.
All of the DC animated movies are gold. Like straight gold. The latest Superman movie that came out was about a month and a half ago. And while stylistically, it was something I thought that could have been a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
It instantly reminded me of Archer, which I was like...
Not a horrible thing.
Not a horrible idea, but you're setting a tone that's supposed to be 100% serious.
Sure.
And Archer is a comedy.
Yeah, well,
it's just weird,
you know, cell
shading,
we'll just
so.
Talk about Archer for a second and how I probably should be drunk while doing this podcast. Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty excited for Wonder Woman for sure. Godzilla versus King Kong. I wish we had seen, you know what? We've seen a lot for Godzilla versus King Kong in toys.
I haven't really seen anything.
There's a lot.
Am I excited for the movie? Kind of, only because I was surprised at the first one. Like, I liked the first Godzilla,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not a Godzilla fan. So
I think you have to be a Godzilla fan.
Yeah, you have to be a Godzilla fan for sure. I just thought that this new take on it was a lot better than the previous one with the dude who played
Matthew Broderick's one?
No, the one before that. It wasn't that old. It came out like this past decade.
Shin Godzilla Shin, the Shin one, where he's like a demon, kind of.
No. It's got the Quicksilver. The dude who plays
Aaron Taylor.
The
Johnson.
Dude who plays Kick-Ass.
Aaron Taylor.
Yeah, that one's not that old though.
Yeah, that's the one. So that's Legendary Pictures' first one.
Yeah,
and then you had Kong. And then you had Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yeah, which is supposed to be a sequel to the first one.
Yep. And then now you're going to have Godzilla versus King Kong, which, you know, if you ever follow Godzilla lore or just where it's been in the movies, that has happened before, this is the first time we will see it in a much more higher quality than two men in rubber suits.
The way I look at it, is like Godzilla is Predator and Kong is Alien, and they're just mashing them together.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, when it comes down to it. But, you know, how many times can you tell the same story? And in how many different ways?
Apparently a lot.
Yeah. Well, we've seen a lot of reboots. We've seen a lot of sequel. Well, we're already talking about two reboots and sequels. So, you know, how much more can you go on with it? What else is WB releasing? I know there's a few more. Oh, well, not even WB. Marvel was supposed to release Morbius.
That's yes, Morbius got pushed back.
Which has also pushed back a lot of other Marvel.
To 2021. Like, all of the Marvel ones are pushed back. They're not even being released on Disney Plus. They're just saying, hey, you guys have to go see this in theaters, which is a tough one for Disney because they don't even own Morbius. They own...
Sony does, right?
Sony owns Morbius because they own Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a really crappy thing that they do. Because Morbius really is not a Spider-Man character.
It's Blade, right?
Yeah, he's more of a Blade character.
Speaking of Blade, did you see... I think in Blade 1 or 2, Morbius actually showed up in one of their uncut deleted scenes.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. There was like a rooftop scene or something, and then you just see a shadow, and you know it's Morbius. It would have been freaking awesome if Wesley Snipes didn't go to jail for tax evasion.
But you mean he's the kind of like the nice thing about Blade and the fact that like I think Snipes is only like 67 or something.
He's not old.
He could play Blade again.
Well, now we got Mahershala Ali, I think, right?
I don't remember who they replaced. I don't remember who they said is going to be the new Blade, but.
I think it's
they could easily Ali. They could easily have Wesley Snipes be the new be Blade again, because if you know the story of Blade, he ages like a human, so right. Eventually he will die faster than most vampires do in the story for him. Like he doesn't die, he won't die at the same rate as a normal human, because he does have some longevity of being a vampire.
Right.
But he will die
eventually. Yeah, it's definitely Mahershala Ali, which is fine. I mean, he's a great actor. He's done a lot of good things recently, and I think he'll do pretty well as the Daywalker. So we'll see how that happens. We'll see if he even blends into Morbius somehow. That'd be cool. I would love to see Spider-Man.
The only thing that I know about Morbius is that Michael Keaton's in it.
Yep.
And he's playing Adrian Toomes. So they're trying to incorporate Morbius into the MCU.
Which I'm fine with. I think they should. I think we should really get the kind of... You know, I was fine with Tom Holland and Spider-Man doing their more kid-friendly, more family-oriented Avengers stuff. But it wouldn't hurt his legacy to incorporate him with Venom, with Blade, with Morbius, and get that side of it. And then, you know, if they build up to the Sinister Six, whichever version they're going to go with, even better. And then some of those characters you can blend in with into the Spider-Verse. What's his name? Who played Dr. Octopus is signed on to come back, or Alfred Molina. He has said he would do it.
They should have Kraven, no matter what. Kraven should be one. Kraven should be one of the Sinister Six. And if they do, they should either do Joe Manganiello or they should do Aquaman. One of the two dudes.
Jason Momoa?
Yeah, Jason Momoa.
Interesting. So you're two characters who were in DC movies.
But the thing is, Joe Manganiello was Flash Thompson.
That's true.
So it would be funny to have him come back, but as an actual villain this time.
Yeah. I think, speaking of Joe, Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League
has Deathstroke.
Should have a lot of Deathstroke.
He will be in it.
Like, how much do you think that they're going to actually incorporate him into that?
Not too long ago, he posted a new picture of his haircut, which is
Slade Wilson-esque.
He had gray hair, or I'm sorry, he had silver hair, but he posted a hair. He posted a photo on Instagram with pink, purplish hair in a mohawk. He just put it in his hair, like, temporarily, which was kind of funny. But it was cool to see him with his actual hair that he's going to have for Justice League.
When I saw him at the end of that, was it Justice League or Batman vs. Superman? It was Justice League, right? He's on the back of the boat with...
Yeah, that was Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, I remember the crowd in the theater. That's what I'm going to miss, though, is those moments where, you know, like a big surprise comes up and then the audience reacts. If I sit at home and watch any of these movies with my wife and then there's like an end credit scene, she's just going to sit there and act as though, are the credits over yet? Is this movie done yet? Why are we sitting through this?
Yeah, I do miss the hype. I do miss the hype of a crowd. That's the one thing I do like about theaters. But I mean, at the same time, like, I'm the kind of guy who sits here watching movies every single day. And then when you have like a new episode of Mando show up and you're just blown away by the fact that they corrected everything about Boba Fett, you're just like, whoa, like what the heck just happened?
And there's something nice about being able to enjoy that without having to worry about a significant other just being like, okay, great, whatever, moving on. So you don't need the theater in that sense. And, you know, have you been to a movie theater in the past? I don't know.
No, I haven't gone to the movies since January.
Jeez. I went in California right when they lifted the ban for a little bit. I went to a Regal theater. And there was nobody in the theater. So,
oh no, I'm sorry. I went, the last time I went was February. I went to see,
but that was like right before
lockdown. Yeah, it was literally like right before the lockdown. I went to see two movies down in Florida. One was Sonic and then the other one was something else.
Sonic wasn't bad. Sonic was, oh, and there's one of those movies that has a great end credit scene. And it's, it just, it's that hype to the people who recognize that and being able to, you know, enjoy that with other people. And not everybody's going to understand it. There's probably a lot of people who are like, Jim Carrey on a planet all by himself, great. And then, but it's his squiggly mustache.
Yeah.
That to all the Sonic fans were like, haha, yes, we're going to get the Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah, he went straight egghead.
Right. Absolutely. And that's what I missed. But yeah, I did go to a movie theater back in June. It was a Regal Cinemas. And what did I go see? I don't even remember, but nobody was in the theater. It was fine. I watched them do their little fogging. They used a fogging machine and cleaned the theater.
In the theater?
Yeah. Yeah, they fogged the heck out of it. It looked like they were bombing it for fleas or ticks. And, I mean, I assume it worked out pretty good.
To clean?
Yeah.
Because it was, yeah, he was June. Yeah, I don't remember what the first movie was that I saw down in Florida, but I just remember Sonic, and that was it.
I just miss it. I mean, my TV's not huge. It actually makes me want to just go spend the money on a projector. I don't have a wall for it either, but
one of these.
Yeah, like you've got,
you just throw it up on there.
You've got the perfect board for it, and it's just,
I mean, they're not like perfect because you'd have to put it up on like that.
Well,
but it would have to be matte though, so you can actually see it because the shine is ridiculous on those. But yeah, having a projector would be cool just to watch movies. Yeah. Or just get like an 88-inch flat screen.
Oh yeah, sure. You know, $25,000 later.
No, they're not that much now. Not compared to like 10 years ago.
Well,
you can get an 88-inch for like $400-$500.
I think we're parsing dollar amounts here. It's not something that's in my near future. I would love to. You know, at this point, if all these movies are just going to solely be like, if we go all the way up to Jurassic World Dominion and we're still not allowed to go in the theaters, maybe I will pony up and just get an 88-inch TV or a really nice $3,000.
When is that supposed to release?
Oh, I don't even remember.
Did they even film it?
Yeah, it's done filming.
Huh.
Wait, Jurassic World Dominion release. That looks like it's coming out. Man, my phone does not like to connect. You pay all this money for 5G and then it doesn't even connect to 5G. What is the point?
Good question.
Okay, so it's loading up here. June 10th, 2022.
Oh,
this is a movie that was supposed to come out in like weeks. And it's now going to be a year later.
It's because they are not finished filming it.
Supposedly, they were done with principal filming, I think like less than a month ago. But that doesn't even mean that they were done with editing, all the special effects, reshoots, this, that, and the other. But we'll see. We'll see. It's definitely going to play a big role in what I do for my entertainment system. You mentioned The Mandalorian. I just caught up with it yesterday on the last two episodes. And first, the Krayt Dragon got me sold on, it doesn't matter what they do in The Mandalorian. I don't even freaking care what happens anymore. That Krayt Dragon just, it tugged on my sci-fi loving heartstrings.
Yeah, they went pretty big with the first episode.
The first episode in the series, or
yeah, in the first season? First episode for the season, they went pretty big, and then it just took a tonal downshift for the second one, and then they brought it back a little bit for the third. The second one was the second episode was with the spiders. That's what it was.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That was down. Yeah, that was planet, right? That was definitely filler for me. I was just like, I wasn't like super thrilled about it, but the last like four episodes have just been like, hey, let's do this, and then everyone freak out, and then let's do this in the next episode, and more people freak out. Sure. And then we're finally at the most recent one, and everyone is losing their fucking mind.
Yeah. Consider my mind lost. I haven't found it yet. My wife walked in to the room when I was watching Mandalorian, and she just said that the dialogue was so dry and that there was like no dialogue. And I said, but that's the way.
Yeah.
This is the way.
This is the way.
And of course she didn't get that reference, but I'm okay with that. And part of it is because I'm a visuals person. So yeah. I'm looking at everything from a visual standpoint. I hated George Lucas's 1, 2, and 3 because they were 100% green screen. And it just broke my heart. Now, that's not to say anything negative to the animators who spent hours and hours on his.
Oh, that's not
on his ranch.
That's nothing you can really blame him for, because he had a vision and he executed it the way he wanted. It's his story. It's always been his story. He wrote, like, even now, because of who's basically in control of the show.
It's not Favreau in control, is he?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
he's pretty much in control. Okay. They're using George's vision. Like, he's been on set with them.
Mm-hmm.
So George's input is very, very heavily influenced at this point, which is great.
Sure.
As for the whole green, like, in a few of the groups that I'm in, we pick apart the movies. Just, like, at certain points, I'll be like, I'll screenshot it and I'll post it in the chat and I'll be like, hey, look at all the green fringing. Look at that. Look at that around Obi's face. Green. It reminded me of The Room.
And I didn't even get into it that deep. I just looked at it and I didn't even look at it negatively until a few years later when I was just, I think I had gone back and watched the original three, and then I watched some other Jim Henson stuff and anything that had puppeteering. And I had so much more respect for the puppeteering and the robots and, the animatronics and the suits and the costumes. Now, that was one thing, though, that all Star Wars have done a pretty solid job on is their makeup and their costumes. Yes, the
Animatronics droids were pretty good for even back then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, of course, the Stormtrooper suits are basically
plastic,
blow molded or vacuum formed little cheap plastic suits, but there's still something authentic and cool about that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, jump up to now and you see the Mandalorian, he's got the Beskar steel and it feels a little bit more like it should. You know, you can shoot a stormtrooper in anywhere and they die, but you shoot the Beskar steel and it is as it's, you know, supposed to be. It
yeah, the only thing that
doesn't really take damage.
The only thing I didn't really like about the last episode was the use of the CGI with the stormtroopers.
There was a lot.
For the most part, you usually see practical effects being done.
Mm-hmm.
And I question like why they went with not, I don't want to say all of them were, but you could tell when the ship hatch opened, the three that were running out were all CGI.
The first three that came out?
Yeah, like the first two or three that ran out were all CGI.
It's possible. Usually it's you know, your first three and then the camera follows, and then it's everything that's follows behind are the things that they do CG with, because they're tertiary to the point, or they're like secondary.
The ones that got ran over by the rocks,
mm-hmm.
that was fine. But like when you saw them run out, you could tell they were CGI. It was just really weird. And I think it was mainly because of the way that the armor didn't fit them. Like it just looked super clunky. And that was kind of like the giveaway for being CGI. But that, other than that, though, the CGI has been like super good on like the entirety of the show.
And, but I think they've blended practical and the CG well enough that you're not going to have a lot of people complaining. Certainly not me. I've been pretty happy with how they've balanced those two things. So, but you mentioned Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
You hate Boba Fett.
No, I hated.
Hated.
Hated. Past tense.
What changed?
Everything in the last episode has corrected my entire view of Boba Fett.
Okay, so this is a spoiler alert. I know we've already said the spoiler, but you know, it's Monday.
Well, it's not really a spoiler because at this point, if you haven't watched the first episode of The Mandalorian and you didn't know that he was back, like, we don't know what to tell you. Like, you're SOL because we're about to ruin the rest of it.
Speaking of ruining things, I remember I took my buddy to see Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, the second one. The first one with the lizard and Gwen Stacy. And we were sitting in the theater and I go, dude, this is the part where, and I had thought that he had read the comics because he's a pretty big Spider-Man fan, but he didn't know anything about Gwen Stacy. And I didn't know that. He knew everything about Mary Jane Watts, but he knew nothing about Gwen Stacy. And I told him, I go, well, at least I get the part right where she dies. And he goes, dude, she dies? Like, there's not a Spider-Man 3 with her in this? And I go, oh.
Yeah, but the like, I mean, they could have easily brought her back had they done a third one.
Sure.
I mean, no comic book character ever stays dead.
Oh, speaking of which, did you hear that Ryan Reynolds is going to play, or at least they're going to somehow bring back his crappy Deadpool from, well, his Wade Wilson. What was his name in that? It wasn't.
It was Wade.
It was, no, it was Wade, but.
Wade Wilson.
The
From X-Men Origins?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Wade Wilson.
No, not his physical name, but I mean like his character name. The guy that's the douchebag, the general that creates all the soldiers, he called him Weapon 13 or something?
11.
A Weapon 11.
Yeah, because Wolverine's Weapon X, which is right, 10, and then Deadpool was 11.
Yeah, they couldn't even call him Deadpool. He mentioned something about we're throwing him into a pool and comes out with all these different superheroes' powers and somehow came up with the name Deadpool. I don't get it. I didn't care for it, and it sucked. But now it's going to be funny that he's going to somehow go back and kill him again. Because he already killed him in Deadpool 2.
Is he
going to
kill the general, you mean?
No, or... he's going to kill Weapon 11.
Again? He killed him in Deadpool 2.
But did he die?
Yeah.
But did he die?
Yeah, he like cut his head off or something. I don't know.
Shoots him 13 times, I think. He just stands over his body.
It would be a great running joke, I think, just to keep it going, you know? Like throw him in Deadpool 3, do something else that kills him, throw him in Deadpool 4. Why not? And kill him again.
Keep killing him.
Exactly.
Well, Ryan Reynolds will probably never live that. Like, he plans on, though, somehow saving Green Lantern.
Yeah, see, I heard that WB wants him back as Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And they want him for, like, the Snyder one. And I was like, how are you going to film all that? Like,
he's got $70 million to work with. So,
I just don't see it happening.
I don't know what that means. That's like paper money, I guess.
For like, we already know they exist because in the first run of it, they show the Green Lanterns in the opening scene with the Amazons and the Atlanteans fighting.
Right. As long as they don't ever bring back the Hot Wheels car that he brings.
Oh, yeah. That was... No.
That's where I just was like, I'm done with this movie. And I zoned out the rest of it.
They should just bring back Taika Waititi also, since he was in that.
Wait, was he?
Yeah.
As who?
He was Deadpool's friend.
Oh, in... Yeah, okay. Yep.
He was in that scene where he does the, look at me! And then he stretches his arms out and the suit comes on. I didn't realize that was him either. I was like, holy crap. That's
I wasn't tight. Mad with his suit. I was okay with it being
CGI. I liked that it was CGI. I thought it was I thought it was a good idea. You know what's like the most unpractical thing for CGI was Spider-Man, like Tom Holland. Like they CGI'd his suit on and they had a real suit like on him.
Right.
It was like, what was the point of CGI? And if you made the real suit, just put the real suit on him and then you don't have to waste money on CGI.
I thought it was funny that they cut as much as they did from the last Spider-Man.
Far From Home for me was like, it was an out of place movie. Sure. It really was. They said that it was the end of phase four.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, the end of phase four is Endgame. Like it's done. You don't end you don't end that phase with Spider-Man, the continuation. Like that should have been phase five. It really should have.
Yeah, there's something a little bit.
Whoever decided that, like Kevin Feige, really messed up job.
We can all blame Kevin.
Yeah, but even like he's allowed a pass at some points, but like
that's not one of them.
Like no. you don't end it with longing for Tony Stark to come back. Like that should have been phase five. And I would recategorize it too. I'd be like, hey, we're gonna put this in phase five. So like this is the start. Endgame was the end of phase four. Endgame is the end of the Infinity Saga. That's what it is. That's what I was trying to say. They're saying that Far From Home is the end of the Infinity Saga. And I'm like, no. No, it's not.
I totally agree with you. I don't see how that movie was an end to anything. You know, with the exception of, I guess, Jake Gyllenhaal's character. Which, even then, is it the end? Is he dead? Is there another Mysterio?
No, Mysterio's not dead.
See?
He didn't die, though.
You're right. It's not an end to anything. So how can you call it the end to Endgame? Especially with the title, Endgame. Why would you call it Endgame if Spider-Man Far From Home is going to be... Yeah, I don't get it. We're going to take a quick break real quick. It's a water break time. And we will be right back. Next, we're going to talk a little bit about Batman and, well, the Batman. And see how we feel about that. All right, we're back. Sketchbook Audio, thanks for tuning in. If you're just tuning in now, we have already gone over Warner Brothers moving a lot of its movies, probably all of its movies for the 2021 lineup to streaming services. It's a mixed bag, right? Some of us miss the theater and some of us could care less. You know, some of us just want to stay safe, so we're fine with that. The Mandalorian had an awesome, what was it, episode six?
Awesome episode six. Yes.
Yeah, six, but I think it was like 14. They're so weird how they title their episodes.
Oh, no. It's episode six, but it's chapter 14. Like, They don't break it up. It's just all continuations.
The never-ending story. And then, you know, we've talked about how some of these movies just, they need to happen, or some of them need to end where they say that they're going to end. And that's neither here nor there. We are going to go into The Batman. And I got to start off by saying, I didn't want this to happen at all without Ben Affleck. And the only thing that changed my mind, it hasn't been Robert Pattinson yet. He has yet to change my mind that he's a worthy Batman. And I'll get to that in a second. But it's the fact that Ben Affleck said, yeah, I'll come back. And he said he's supposedly coming back for and did reshoots with Snyder for
he's already done Justice League. Already done them.
And he said he would come back if he got to write or at least direct or do something.
But he wanted to do his own version, like completely independent or some kind of continuation
of his Batman
where he doesn't have to report to anybody, which is what he should be doing.
I'm totally in for that. I would love it. I don't want it to go the way the Joker did, Joaquin Phoenix's, where it's just it's out in the open to suggest, you know, could it exist? Of course it can exist in another universe, but let's get universes out. You know, that Joker is kind of standalone, and I'm okay with it standing alone. I'm not necessarily okay with them trying to fold that in just because, right?
Right.
You can multiverse anything and everything. But I think that they should put limitations on that a little bit, you know, because that at that point you're just trying to please everyone, and I can just see it being a directorial and artistic nightmare right? You have a guy who did a phenomenal job of directing Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. Ben Affleck can direct. We've seen it, The Town, Gone Girl, and a few other movies. He's not a bad director, and he's a pretty solid actor. And I thought he was a fantastic Batman. But then you have all these other directors. Who's the one who's doing Suicide Squad 2 now? One of the brothers?
Oh, James Gunn. Yeah, now he's taking over.
And he's a phenomenal director, but he's a totally different director than Ben Affleck. And, you know, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, which was very dark and disturbing. And you come to Suicide Squad, and they have characters like the dude from SNL. The one that gets shit on all the time. Because he's always...
He's a writer?
No, he's one of the actors. He's one of the... oh, my God. I forget that guy's name. It's not Andy Samberg.
No, I know. You're talking about Bill Hader.
No, not Bill Hader. But he is in the movie, right? I heard he was in there, too.
In
Suicide Squad.
Is he?
Was it?
No. The only thing I know...
Ariana Grande.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about. I forgot his name too. Crap.
He's got like
a shit ton of tattoos.
Yes. The King of Staten Island. I can't remember his name. But there are just so many actors in that movie that at some point you can't... Pete Davidson. You can't even take it seriously because you have characters like...
Yeah, I can't even take his name seriously.
Pete Davidson and John Cena.
John Cena is the one thing about the whole movie that I'm like super against. It's weird because I liked his character in Transformers, but for some... He just has such a stale military feel. And he's playing a military character, which is like... his avenue anyway.
Right.
But I'm just like, nah, you don't want to put John Cena in it. And then the other thing too is like John Cena, they use his face template for Superman in the Suicide Squad game now that's coming out. And I'm like, why would you do that?
So while we're on the topic of Suicide Squad, let me just run down the list of all of the cast because it's funny. Margot Robbie, obviously Harley Quinn. Pete Davidson is Richard Hurtz. I don't even know who his character is. I don't follow a lot of Suicide Squad, so some of these names are just lost on me. John Cena is Peacemaker. Idris Elba, Bloodsport, which I do know that one. Nathan Fillion, who should be busy doing Nathan Drake.
He's just too old.
It doesn't matter.
He's just too old, though.
He had his chance.
They got Tom Holland, though.
Yeah, well, a young Nathan Drake, which I'm fine with, but we can talk about that later. Alice Braga. And Jared Leto as the Joker.
Jared Leto. That's what you said. That was pretty funny, though.
Did I say Jared?
Jared Leto.
Well, that guy.
Hey, on the upside, I heard that the Joker is not going to suck this time.
Well, he did say he was going back to re-record some stuff for Suicide Squad. So
yeah,
if they can merge all that together, I'm fine. Storm Reed, Tyla. Taika Waititi. I don't know what his character is, but he's in it. Joel Kinnaman, Rick Flagg, he returns.
Yep.
Peter Capaldi, the Thinker. He's not my favorite character, but Peter Capaldi's a great actor. Daniela Melchior? I don't know how to say her name, but she's Ratcatcher. Jai Courtney, Captain Boomerang. I'm okay with Captain Boomerang, but
I like Jai Courtney only because of the story from the first movie,
mm-hmm.
and that is he ran around naked. He ran around naked on set a lot.
Oh, like literally?
Yeah,
just ran around naked
on set.
Nice. Well, when you're famous, I guess you can do what you want. Michael Rooker. Viola Davis returns as Amanda Waller. Flula Borg is Javelin. Mei Ling Ning is Mongol. Sean Gunn is Weasel. I am really happy about that. James Gunn has a great way of putting his brother into his movies, and I appreciate it. It's nepotism at the highest order, but it's awesome.
It's because nepotism at the rightest order.
Yeah, exactly. David Das Malchian, Polka Dot Man. Oh, no way. I remember that guy. Yeah. Jennifer Holland, Joaquin Cosio, Dwayne Johnson will have an appearance as Black Adam. Karen Fukuhara.
See, that's the other thing I was like kind of okay with.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to see like a scene. Doesn't have to make any sense at all. I just want to see Peacemaker look at Black Adam
mm-hmm.
and just do this. And you're just like,
waving your hand in your face.
Yeah, you can't see me.
Here's the one person I am not okay with being in here. And it's not the character or the actor. It's the way they did them, because they did the same thing in Suicide Squad. But Steve Agee is King Shark, but King Shark is fat. He's a bloated, short shark.
So he's not going to be like the Suicide Squad game version.
No, he's not even going to be like the one that's on the Flash.
Man, that was like the one character they did right in the Flash.
Exactly. Instead, what we are getting is exactly how they did the Croc, which is
terrible.
A normal sized guy with shitty makeup on and a thug jacket. But in this case, we're getting King Shark, who is just shirtless, because of course
he's gonna be like able to breathe underwater at least.
I would imagine so. He's got the head of a shark.
We'll see. I like James Gunn, so I have faith. Maybe it's a ploy. Maybe we will get a CGI one.
Maybe he'll just blow up.
Like in the assault on Arkham.
No. Well, yeah, but in the first Suicide Squad when what was the Native American?
Rampage? Apache?
Is that Apache? Yeah, he just explodes.
They kill him because he tries to escape.
But he just explodes. Yeah, it happens like that.
Yeah, he uses his grapple, and he tries to get away from him, and they just blow his head straight off.
Oh, right, because they had the implant things with the collar.
Yep. No, it was a thing in the back of their head.
Yeah. I mean, this list goes on and on. Sylvester Stallone.
It's supposed to be like a really big movie with a lot of actors, and it's got me like semi-worried, but at the same time, like because it's James Gunn, it has put a lot of my worry, you know, aside. Like I'm not that worried about it because James Gunn has done Guardians of the Galaxy, and Guardians of the Galaxy has what I would have considered back then A-list actors already. Except for Batista.
So, speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, would you believe this? Four of the five main Guardians of the Galaxy characters are in Suicide Squad 2. Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, and...
See, Batista I can understand because...
Michael Rooker.
Batista has said in public forum... he wants to work on every movie that James Gunn does.
I'm okay with that.
Because of the whole backlash when he got fired from Guardians of the Galaxy originally, and now he's back to direct 3.
Yep.
Which I am 100% for. Like, he never should have got fired.
No. You know, if we were to hold people accountable for the bullshit that they did in... 20 years ago, or a tweet that they said, I don't think we would have had the president that we have. I'm not going to get all political, but I'm just saying, we're going to hold people accountable for the shit that they said 20 years ago. or even 10 years ago. Some people could change.
12.
Some people can't.
12 years ago.
12.
Not 12, 11. Because the tweet was from 2009.
Yeah, well.
Which was really stupid.
It was a bad move, right? I think they should have kept
him.
He was a moneymaker.
It wasn't even a bad move. It was a bad move for them to fire him.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, no. Like, for me, the other firing that should never have taken place was the dude on The Flash who plays Ralph Dibny. Like, he should not have been fired either.
They fired him?
Yeah, they fired him for a tweet that he wrote, like, 8-9 years ago.
Ah,
yeah.
Man.
Now they got to replace him, too.
If I got fired for the tweets that I wrote 8 or 9 years ago when Twitterverse came out and I didn't give a flying rat's ass about literally anything at the time, I was listening to The Cure a lot.
But it's like, he's not the same person he was. Like, he clearly has shown his support for, like, whatever activist thing that's going on right now.
Yep.
He's clearly shown that he's for inclusion, for the right causes. And his tweet is something that was his past self. Like, it's basically, it's honestly no different at this point than when Robert Downey Jr. went to jail.
Right.
And now he's like, he's seriously like
the highest paid,
the golden actor. Boy of Marvel.
He's the highest paid actor in Hollywood next to
probably Johnny Depp.
Yeah, probably. Well, that's going to take an interesting tumble. So we don't get off track too much. I wanted to go back to the Batman. Like I said, I'm excited because it's another Batman movie. I love Batman.
Well, I've been excited since I saw the trailer.
And the trailer is great. The trailer is a phenomenal trailer, especially considering they managed to piece that together the way they did.
And there's only like 20 minutes or 30 minutes of actual footage.
Of actual footage.
Yeah.
The moment that trailer came out, they had to send everybody home and get COVID tests.
The only thing I don't like, and I'm hopefully it's just because of how much footage is actually in the trailer and like what's being used.
It was a long trailer.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was like 2 minutes and like 40 seconds or something. Yep. But like the only thing I did not like was Catwoman's outfit. But I think it's only because she doesn't have like her actual costume yet, you know?
Did you like Catwoman's outfit on Gotham? Or the lack thereof?
It wasn't a real costume, though. It was just a leather suit. She had no mask.
So then, to your point, I think we can see an evolution.
Masking Batman is just a torn mask that she like tore the thing open. I'm like, what the heck?
So do you think she can evolve?
That's what I'm hoping for, is that she gets her, you know, her aviator like cowl with the kitten ears and the actual like big goggles. Like, I want to see that.
So you want that version. You don't necessarily
want a version of it, not that version.
What
just
was her
a version that we can see with the goggles?
What was Michael Keaton's what was her name?
Catwoman in that was actual like
Lycra.
It was basically I want to say plexiglass, but it's not. It starts with a P and I can't think of it.
I think it's Lycra, isn't it?
No, her suit.
Right, Lycra.
No. It's latex. Oh, latex. That's what it was. Not P. I don't know why.
PU, polyurethane?
Yeah. It was a latex suit with a corset and then just a mask. All like
I want to say, it's not Nicole Kidman. It's,
no, it was Michelle Pfeiffer. She was sewn into that thing,
and I liked that costume. But I think, to your point, maybe we'll see an evolution of this Catwoman's into something that's a little bit, you know, kind of like Tom Holland. He went from, or just Spider-Man in general, he goes from this homemade suit to something that you really could only get if
he didn't even go from that though. He went from like the opposite,
Tom Holland?
And it was actually sweet though. He went from Stark suit to homemade suit. It was like a complete.
It
was a complete 180 that was actually that worked. That's what I liked the best about that whole design flip. Is like, hey, we're not going to do the traditional origin. We're going to say, hey, guess what? He gets his good suit. It's made by Tony Stark, and then in his movie, Tony's going to take it away and say, "Fuck you! You got to wear your shitty suit."
I was okay with that.
Or at least for a portion of it, because he gets it back in the end.
I was okay with that move. I don't know who would really do that in the Batman. Who would
You can't do that in a Batman, though. Who's going to make her suit?
Right.
She is.
Right.
Maybe she gets an upgrade because technically she's not really a villain. She's an anti-hero. No. She's like Wolverine, but hot. Although Hugh Jackman is pretty hot.
I mean, hey.
And don't get started on Ryan Reynolds because we all know he's a magnet.
Ryan Reynolds is just I saw a question on Twitter the other day. It said, which actor would you want to spend the rest of your life with on an island if it was just you two? And I listed three, Kat Dennings being one of them. She's hilarious.
I have to see what she looks like. The name sounds familiar.
Kat Dennings? Yeah. The girl from Thor. And then she was also a new girl. No. Well, too bad.
Horse face.
No,
thank you.
She, her, and then I forget who the other woman was, but then I put Ryan Reynolds. Like, I could listen to that guy just trash talk me for life.
He could talk about anything.
Yeah, and it would be okay. It'd
be funny.
It's not quite Morgan Freeman level of soothing.
No, it's not soothing. It's like the opposite of soothing, right. But it's still good.
I think it would encourage me to build a better island.
A bigger one so you can get a little further away from him but still hear him in the distance.
I know you're still over there. Are you playing with that coconut again?
If it was me on an island, it would have to be two people. It'd be me, Nolan North, and Ryan Reynolds. So then you have two Deadpools going at it.
Okay. But do you think they would kill each other? You would kill them both?
No.
Or,
I wouldn't do it because it'd be too funny.
Or you would just
to hear them yell at each other as Deadpool each be hilarious. And they could both actually wear a Deadpool mask.
What if Ryan Reynolds just quoted Deadpool, the movie, like 24/7?
Well, he wouldn't really be quoting it. He'd just be quoting himself.
I mean, like, what if but he was just reading the script in his head every day. Would you be
like
okay with it?
If we were stuck on an island and he was writing Deadpool 3,
yeah,
that'd be cool.
All right. I like that idea. We got a little sidetracked with Deadpool there, but the Batman's Batmobile.
Yes.
Let me paint this picture real quick. 1969 Dodge Charger with the back end ripped off, mid-engine, and classic Detroit Mopar.
Dude,
muscle.
It's a go-kart from hell.
All right.
It looks amazing. And when I saw it, it instantly reminded me of Twisted Metal. And I wanted to play that, like, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, I need to go boot up Twisted Metal and hope to God Batmobile shows up somehow.
So I'm going to post a picture of this Batmobile on the Instagram, sketchbook_audio, as well as on the icon for this episode. But I'm going to disagree with you, man.
You don't like it.
I don't like it at all. And I, first and foremost, am a Dodge fan. Second of all,
I know, which is weird.
I love all things badass and
you
powerful.
Like all things Chrysler.
Well, that's true.
Which is strange to me because it's a Dodge vehicle. So I'm like, how do you not like this car?
Yeah, and all the other cars have been either Fords or Chevy based in some way, shape, or form.
Yep.
I don't.
Has any of the Batmobile? Oh yeah, yeah.
I guess with the exception of the Tumbler, but it used LS V8.
What was the Ford one? It was the Futura. Adam West one, right?
Futura.
Yeah, Adam West.
Yeah.
Yeah, his was a Ford.
Yep.
That's right. Okay.
I'm not gonna say I disliked Adam West, but I'm not gonna say that I'm in love with Adam West's version of the Batmobile.
You cannot hate Adam West.
But it's Adam West.
You're not allowed to hate Adam West. Adam West is the DC version of Stan Lee.
Yep. Agreed. May they both rest in peace. Now I can't wrap my head around something that, you know, it took me a minute to really like the Tumbler though too, but I think I appreciated the Tumbler because it fit within the realm of it's a military spec thing, Black Ops. And it served a purpose other than being his Batmobile, and he repurposed it. But I'm looking for.
I like the practicality of it. It was basically.
Who's? Pattinson's?
Of the Tumbler. The practicality of it was, hey, this was an R&D project that we had. Yep. It was never used. It was shelved. And now you can use it as your Batmobile. Whereas traditionally, Batman built the Batmobile.
Or has Lucius Fox doing it for him.
Same concept up until, I want to say, like 2000. Lucius Fox was never the guy in the chair.
Well, he didn't build Adam West's
Batmobile. He didn't build Adam West's Batmobile. He didn't build Michael Keaton's Batmobile.
That's right. He didn't.
He didn't build he didn't build the Burtonverse Batmobiles. He built Dark Knight Batmobile. That's when the whole Lucius Fox thing came into play. Because if you follow DC history or Batman history, Lucius Fox just ran Wayne
R&D.
No, he ran Wayne Enterprises.
Oh, okay.
He was really never part of Batman's like inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided to bring him into it as like the R&D guru, making all the tech, which kind of freed up a lot of the stuff that like would put Bruce back into the CEO chair, I guess.
Sure.
Which is cool, in a sense, because like if you've seen any of the like recent Batman films, you have Lucius Fox doing stuff, or even the Batman TV show from 2004 to like 2007.
Okay,
Lucius Fox was part of that. He didn't build the Batmobile though. Bruce Wayne built his Batmobile. Then it exploded. Then Lucius Fox helped him build the next one.
Mm.
So he was very influential in that aspect. So he had Lucius Fox involved. And I've never seen Batman Brave and the Bold, but I'm assuming that he was part of that too. And then if you continue with the movies, Lucius Fox and his son were involved. What's his name? Luke. Luke Fox becomes Batwing.
Yeah. That's a storyline I didn't go down.
They build a suit that's basically an Iron Man suit. Mm-hmm. It was for Batman. Luke Fox sees the suit after Lucius Fox dies, and he decides to take it, and he becomes Batwing.
Okay.
So, and they even make a joke in the movie while Batman's flying the Batwing, and Luke Fox is flying next to him and goes, "Hey, I'm Batwing, and you're flying the Batwing." He literally says this. It's like a joke. And I'm like, dude, that's hilarious, but it's also really corny.
Now, in the Justice League version, though, it's Alfred really helping, right?
Like, are you talking about the Timverse?
Timverse.
Yeah, like the animated Batman.
No. Like Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Oh, yes. Batman vs. Superman. That's Alfred.
Alfred helps him build.
Even think we've ever seen Lucius Fox.
We haven't. No. Okay. I was thinking a lot of the Gotham Knight
series. The big difference I want to say with the Justice League version is that
it kills people.
He kills people. But you are looking at an Alfred Pennyworth that was the ex MI6 agent version.
Kind of like the Gotham TV show version,
right? Yes. Yes.
MI6 or SAS. Well, long and short of it, I'm not super thrilled about this new Batmobile, but given the rest of everything that's going into the Batman with Robert Pattinson, I have high hopes.
I think it's going to be fantastic, especially with like the 30-second scene where he beats the shit out of that dude.
So that's exactly what sold me. I didn't watch. I saw the trailer first on an airplane. I was coming home from California, and I didn't get to see the whole thing because my internet cut out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it stopped right there, right before that happens. And then I got home. I forgot about the trailer for the longest time. And then 3 days later or something, I came back to it, and it showed up in my Google, like what's happening today. And there was an HD version. It was 4K. So thankfully, my phone is 4K capable. I pulled it up, I rewatched it, and I got to that scene, and I was like, holy shit, yep, I want to see this movie. I don't care who the actor is as Batman, I don't care what's going on.
Yeah, a lot of people really were not on board with Robert Pattinson, but...
Are you?
For me, I knew right away that he was going to be a good choice.
Is he going to be a good Batman? Yeah, or a I think good he's going to be good Wayne?
Both.
Or both.
Yeah. If you've seen any of Robert Pattinson's like recent movies, the dude's dynamic range is insane.
He's a very good actor. Yeah. He's a very so my problem isn't necessarily his acting capabilities. It's his
past because of Twilight. Well, everyone thinks because he did Twilight. But the thing is, like everyone thinks that because he did Twilight, he's gonna be such a shitty actor. But I'm just like, dude, he was Cedric Diggory in Harry Potter, right. And he did a fantastic job in that.
He did.
So you can't really knock a dude who, first of all, hated the fuck out of being in Twilight. He didn't want to do any of them after the first one.
True.
He hated it. So it's like, I already respect him for not wanting to be in it, but he was contractually obligated to do it.
Yeah. I have seen his, with the exception of Tenet, which I really wanted to see in theaters.
I haven't seen Tenet yet, but there's a movie on Netflix called The Devil All the Time.
Yep. That's a
He's a pastor in the movie.
It's such a good movie.
He's awesome.
So good. It's really creepy. Awesome. He is a really creepy motherfucker, but
he plays a pastor.
Yeah. Well, you can imagine where that
goes. In the South.
It gets even better. He did another movie. It was like The Lighthouse, right? It was black and white recently on Netflix.
I do not know.
I only saw remember. Parts of it, but it was supposed to be his, okay, if he can do this, Tenet, and The Devil All the Time, you got to give the guy mad props for being a phenomenal actor. Again, it's actually his physique.
Mm. Is that what you're worried about?
Yeah. Because
he did work out more.
Sure. Well, so did Tom Holland, and he's still not jacked like Tobey Maguire got, but.
Yeah, but that was honestly, that was overboard. That was really way overboard. I agree that Spider-Man should probably be like super jacked anyway, but he's supposed to be in peak physical condition proportionate to like a triathlon runner or like somebody who does triathlons, not
agreed,
not power building, not like power weightlifting, because he has
the animated series.
He has the proportionate strength of a spider, mm-hmm. which is, and the other thing too is that makes him super super strong. In some instances,
he doesn't need the size.
Yeah, in some instances, he's third strongest in like the entire Marvel catalog. That's at least in some instances, not all.
So, There was a series, Batman Gotham Knight, that came out as an animated series, like five or six different versions of Batman. And they showed one that was like an animated, mm-hmm. version of Batman.
Yep.
That's what this Robert Pattinson reminds me of. And yes. That's what gives me hope. And it's just, I just have to accept that it's a different version of Batman that's been told a bunch of different ways.
Yep.
And I'm okay with that.
I agree.
So we've talked a lot. I think it's been a good episode so far. We're going to do more of these. And I'm really excited for what's going to come up. I got one more little thing to say. We'll be right back after this.
All right. We'll. I don't know how to do any of this.
Technology is insane. We are back. Thank you for taking a moment to break with us. And our sponsored segment. We were talking about the Batman and the Batmobile that will exist in that Batman. And, you know, love it or hate it, I think it's going to be a good movie. And it'll take us for a ride that we will all respect. But speaking of Batmobiles, and we talked a little bit about, you know, Lucius Fox and who actually, or Alfred in some cases, or Bruce Wayne building his own Batmobiles. Let's talk a couple minutes about your favorite Batmobiles, your top three, and I'll tell you my top three. And then why? Tell me why.
Oh, man. Well,
there's a lot.
Top three is very, very difficult because are we talking about...
And it doesn't have to be the car.
Are we going
to
talk about just live action?
No. Pull any version you want.
Top three for me is Arkham Knight.
Okay. That's a sweet one.
That's like the best one.
Okay.
The Tumbler from Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's gotta be Burton.
Burton's, the big Chevy based one.
Yep. Yeah, honestly, let me recategorize. Mm-hmm. Burton's is number one.
Okay.
Arkhamverse is number two, and then the Tumbler is three. I wanted to say Snyder's, but it doesn't have the capabilities that. It looks cool, but it doesn't look as cool as the Tumbler, and it's definitely not stylized like Burton's. Burton's, for some reason, dude, like that's the one you and I both grew up with. Like that was the Batmobile, and to me, it still is.
Yeah, it stayed that way probably all the way up until, honestly, either the Tumbler or Justice League's. It was still the key representation of Batman for me.
I guess if we take out the Arkham one, mm-hmm. if we're just sticking to live action, I will say Burton is number one, the Tumbler is number two,
okay,
and Zack Snyder's would be three.
Okay.
The only reason I'm not like throwing in Adam West is just because it's so dated. Like it was a more stylized look, for the time, because the 60s were just such a different period.
An acid
trip. And it wasn't the Dark Knight. The White Knight?
Yeah, something like that.
That's what he called himself, the White Knight, instead of the Dark Knight.
Super campy.
Yeah, he was all about the campiness. But then you have the Schumacher ones, which were very stylized too, but they just didn't have that same flair, I think, as Burton's.
But they followed in the same vein, right?
As Burton's. Yeah, like it was campy with dark.
Sure.
That's what made those movies. And neons. That's what made those movies like such an awkward movie piece. Mm-hmm. Like both of them were such awkward movie pieces, but I liked them just because they kept the darkness and were like, hey, we're gonna try and throw, you know, Adam West style in it too a little bit.
And they gave him nipples.
But the thing is, like, everyone always kind of groans about the nipples, but like, I just watched Batman Forever. Like his first suit had bat nipples.
Which Adam West or
no?
Michael Keaton.
No. The Batman Forever was
The guy who played Batman?
What's his name? I forgot.
The one from Top Gun?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, his first suit was basically Tim Burton's second suit from Batman Returns.
Yep.
They just kind of changed a little things and they put nipples on it. I don't know why, but they did. And I'm sorry, I should rephrase that. It was Burton's first suit, because the second suit in Batman Returns looked more like armor.
It did.
It wasn't a bodysuit.
The guy who, this is just a random side note, I actually got to meet over my years. This is super random. I met Michael Keaton at a restaurant. I was serving him dinner, him and his family. And then I got to meet, shortly after that, I was in a movie where I got to meet the other one. I can't remember his name. The second Batman. The only Batman I have yet to meet, because I've met all the Christian Bale and Ben Affleck. I haven't met Robert Pattinson, but was George Clooney. Not necessarily sure I care to meet George Clooney in reference to his Batman.
Val Kilmer,
that's it. Yeah, I got the pleasure of working in a movie with Val Kilmer. He's a really nice guy. You know, it sucks that he's gone through some health issues, but you know, it'd be interesting to see if they do in fact bring him back for the Batman multiverse. That would be kind of cool. So my three Batmobiles that I like would be, in order, Tim Burton's. There's something so, and let me say specifically the one scene where his car, he walks away from his car and then he locks it. And they did the stop motion animation for the
in Returns or in the first one.
The first one, right?
The first.
He walks away from it.
The second one.
Yeah. Okay. He walks away from it and then he it like transforms into like a solid speed form.
Yeah.
And it's just all armor everywhere. And they're all shooting at it and nothing happens. And, you know, then all of a sudden it kind of comes back to life and knocks everybody out. It was pretty awesome. But I loved that version in just that one moment. Second favorite would have been the Tumbler. And I'll tell you why. The Tumbler
transform.
That it did transform, you know, if you blow up one part of it and another little part comes out. I got to sit in it and it was the coolest freaking thing ever. Not like inside the center of it, but like on top of it. They were doing a parade in Pittsburgh. Cause I think the Steelers won. No, they didn't win the Super Bowl that year, but they came really close and they happened to be filming Batman Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises.
Nice.
Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. They were filming Batman Dark Knight Rises downtown Pittsburgh. And In the dome, but they were filming specifically on Smithfield Street in Pittsburgh, if you've ever been to Pittsburgh. And it was just super cool.
I haven't.
Christopher Nolan was telling everybody who was in the crowd, you know, you can come watch us film and everything. And then when we're done filming, I'm going to let everybody interact with the Tumbler and the Batpod.
Nice.
Which, by the way, the Batpod was powered by like a little Honda 100cc motor that nobody could drive except for two people, including Catwoman's stunt double and the person who built it. And Catwoman's stunt double, this is just a funny side note, she and this should have made it into like bloopers for that film because it was the funniest moment in film history for a the Panavision IMAX film cameras. I don't think anybody can lay claim to this kind of hilarity, but she drove the Batpod into the camera and destroyed it. And Christopher Nolan was like, well, if anybody was here yesterday, I said, I hate this camera. I wish it would break. And broke. So he was able to use insurance to get a new one and film the rest. It was priceless, but I was standing there when she drove the bike into the camera, and it was hilarious. But they kept telling everybody it doesn't turn. You can only go in a straight line. And the stunt double tried to turn a little bit to avoid the camera after coming down the stairs out of the
that's pretty funny,
the government office, and just destroyed the camera. But so that one, so the Tumbler is my second favorite, and the third favorite would be Batman versus Superman's. And I say that one because it's a little bit of the Tumbler. It's a little bit of the one that was in the Dark Knight comic book.
Okay.
It's just not as big. It's just really low. And then the last reason is because, again, I got to sit in it. But this time I actually literally got to sit in it.
Yeah.
The way they filmed that, because it was so small and because Ben Affleck couldn't necessarily fit in it with his bat suit on.
Yep.
I
remember he looked really big.
Yeah.
Sitting in it with the massive door open.
That was the only scene where they cut off the roof and they put him just sitting inside of it. But when you're actually looking at his perspective, looking out, it's a buck of just the front windshield and a little bit of the cockpit below his legs. So it was really funny. We were walking past the set and it was just sitting there. And
yep.
Zach was like, you guys want to take a look at it? We're like, hey, yeah, of course. So we got a chance to go in there. And you have experience with that movie too, don't you? Yeah.
I never got to sit in it.
No,
I was too big.
Yeah.
my uncle sat in it.
You know, I don't.
But he's not. I mean, he's like the same. He and I are like the same height, but he's a lot thinner than me, so it doesn't really matter. He's like, hey, do you want to see the Batmobile? I'm like, sure. So we went and looked at, like, I've sat in the Transformer cars.
Like, how could you not say yes to that?
Can I lay on the hood?
Can I, oh God, the things I would have done to that car.
Like the worst Bumblebee vehicle I sat in was the fourth one. I hated that car. I think everyone hated that car.
His Camaro?
The fourth movie. The fourth movie Camaro was like the worst.
Like the super over exaggerated body kit that looked like a kind of riced out.
Yeah, just super bad.
I actually have a really cool die cast model of that.
My favorite Camaro was the second one.
Okay.
And it was also the nicest one to sit in because that's when they actually released production vehicles. So they had like more to give Michael Bay because he likes to fuck cars up.
Mm-hmm. So we are Michiganders and we have had the pleasure of seeing some of these movies being filmed in Michigan right before they decided to take the Michigan film tax credit away. And so Michael Bay, one of these days, decided to do a show and tell of all of the Transformers cars, the hero cars, if you will, downtown Michigan, downtown Detroit, Michigan. And that's when I got to see them and walk up close to them. But they had like those guardrails, the Tensa barriers around them. Still cool.
Was this after the fifth one? Or was this like when the first was
this is the
like
Mark Wahlberg first, the first Mark Wahlberg,
the fourth one.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was very interesting to see all of those cars.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant. The fourth one.
It was really weird because they are so shiny and so bright.
Yeah.
They felt out of place in the movies.
Yep.
But at the same time, I guess just the way he used like a film filter, it kind of worked.
Yeah.
But they still felt so loud. And I don't mean physically loud, but I mean just to your eyes. They were very dramatic. But dude, it's Michael Bay fashion.
One thing he should have done was reassessed like the hero vehicle of the whole thing and said, we're going to use three of each vehicle, because that's kind of how he did it. He had a hero vehicle that just like didn't move, like it rolled and
a rolling.
That's all it did. Yep. And then he had like one that was like, eh. And then he had one that was like, hey, guess what? This is gonna get messed up. And I remember for three, when the actual hero vehicle got messed up during the scene where they're filming the fire truck driving down Michigan Avenue in Chicago.
Yep.
And there was a car that like hit it. That was the actual hero vehicle that got messed up. So they had to bump the second one up. But the thing that I'm talking about though is the fact that like he should have had the vehicles look dingy at some point, not just straight. Hey, guess what? We transform into these pristine vehicles, but when we transform into our bot modes, we look like junk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They look like hobo robots.
Yeah, pretty much. They all look like they were methed out, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense a little bit. Especially the ones, the Wreckers, like they transformed into
the two brothers.
There was three. They transformed.
Was there three?
Yeah, there were three Wreckers. They transformed into stock cars. And they had guns. Ones. They had guns on them.
Yeah.
And they should have looked way more messed up than what they did. Like they had all the guns on them, so they looked less pristine.
Yep.
But even still, I was like, "You're gonna put guns on race cars? At least make them look messed up." Like I would have preferred them to just be go-kart like type vehicles. It would have looked cool, but because they had so many decals on them and all the companies that like sponsored it, like Target was like a big one because the red one had the huge Target logo on the front,
right?
And if you wanted to buy that figure, you could only buy it at Target. So I was like,
product placement,
it's terrible, but I mean it works. And I was like, you guys really got to rethink that a little bit, because if you notice though, like with the Bumblebee movie, they used a crappy looking bug, which was like perfect.
Right.
And even like when
it was the bug from the first one, wasn't it? Or at least the same year.
It's not. Oh yeah. Yeah. It was the same bug from the first movie, but it was the actual, like, it's just the model. It's not that car from the first movie, but it's supposed to kind of be tied in a little bit. And it's like, I would rather just stand on its own, which it's kind of doing now, which is great. But then you see him transform at the end of the movie when he scans the Camaro again. So now he's a Camaro and he's going to look all pristine for a little bit. But I'm hoping that they kind of take it and say, hey, we're going to make these guys look a little bit more beat up in vehicle mode too.
All right. So that's our take on Transformers, vehicles. But real quick, before we close it out here for the day, the Batmobile, I think, should be the least of my worries.
Burton.
The least of anybody's worries. in this film, because I think, at least given that one scene. Okay, I gotta ask before we close up, who is the guy? Who do you think the guy is? Is it Paul Dano's character with the mask, like the weird bomber suit? Like, he looks like a guy that goes in to defuse bombs, IEDs, and he's got like a gas mask and big goggles.
Oh, Scarecrow or Riddler?
You don't know either.
I think they said he is Riddler. Are you talking about the? He's the guy from.
He's got like duct tape. He stretches a roll of duct tape in the trailer, and then...
I think. Is he no? Is that's the actor who was in The Girl Next Door, right?
I think so.
Yeah, he plays the Riddler. Pretty sure.
So the credits, we can pinpoint who's who, but the characters in the movie and the cards that are being sent to Bruce and all these other people have riddles on them, but they don't necessarily mean that they are the Jokers or the Riddlers.
No, I think they are the Riddler.
You think they're?
Yeah, Riddlers? I think they are the Riddler.
I think they are too.
I just think they kind of, overdid it with the makeup. Like, not saying they overdid it with the makeup. They just went too far.
Who's
with the makeup for Penguin? Like, he looks like the one dude from the Wonder Years or whatever his name is. I forget the guy's name.
Wonder Years was Robin Thicke's dad.
No. That's not the Wonder Years. That's Growing Pains.
Growing Pains. You're right.
I forgot the guy's name. I cannot think of the dude's name, but like everyone made memes about it. They're like, why didn't they just hire the dude instead of putting prosthetics all over Colin Farrell. Which, yep. I'm like, okay. I mean, you know, Colin Farrell's young, but they did, you know, they seriously made him look old and not even recognizable.
Could have brought John Leguizamo back to do a fat guy, short fat guy.
Oh,
he was Clown.
Yeah, he was Violator.
Yeah, Violator. Yep. So, anyways, thanks everybody for tuning into this episode. I hope it's been fun for you as it has been for me. We're gonna do this again soon. We've got another one of our friends that I wanted to get in here because he's a musician, and his name is Jeff.
My
name is Jeff. We could just go back and forth about that 100 million times because this never gets old. But I want to get Jeff on here because Jeff has something to say about music and probably most likely John Mayer. So in the meantime, like always, be good to one another, put your damn mask on, and get your sketchbooks and sketch. I've got some stuff I want to post up on Sketchbook Audio, Instagram. That's sketchbook_audio. Some renders that I have done, and stay tuned for later in this week as I will be back in California and I want to do a couple how-to render sessions with you guys, but not about cars. I will show you what we will be doing. Till next time, your host Ryan Sketch, and this is Sketchbook Audio.